You know, health is a tough topic because some are more interested than others. But if we're going to follow what the Scripture teaches, then we need to discuss what the Bible says about health. And we are a people with a special health message. Isn't that true? And so even though this has been put together for people who are not Adventists, we're going to do a review for those who are Adventists, but we're going to also, I'm going to add a little bit in specially for us Adventists too. So to your health, you remember what happened in the beginning, don't you? Am I in your way if I stand over here? I always get in the way, so I want to stand back a little bit. But in the beginning, God created us what? Perfect. Okay? So everything was perfect. And he gave us a special diet to keep us that way. Okay? And so it says in Genesis 1:29, you won't need your Bible because I'm going to have the scriptures up here today. You could use your Bible. I won't forbid that, but we have the scriptures up here. It says, "And God said, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth." So now what is an herb yielding seed? Every herb that yields seed. An herb is like grass. And when it yields seed, you have, what kind of things do you get out of that? Grain. So you have wheat, barley, other types of things. Okay? So God gave us, what would you call that? Well, it's plant-based, yeah, but we're getting more specific here. So let's look at the next. Now, okay, so we're really looking at grains, okay? So he gave us grains. Adam and Eve had grains, okay? And if you go to the next part of the text, it says, "And every tree whose fruit yields seed, it shall be for you for food." The fruit plus, where do you get the nuts? Inside the fruit, okay? So you've got fruits, grains, and nuts. This is what God gave them. Do you think that was enough? We'll discuss that in a little bit. Adam and Eve didn't complain. Well, they only started complaining after they ate another fruit, right? That was when the complaints started. But God said that everything that he had made was indeed what? Very good. He made it just right. No complaints. He says, this was perfect. This was exactly what I wanted. I'm going to stand over here. I don't know if that might not be good because I'll be in front of the speakers. So I'll stand back this way. I just want to make sure everybody can see. Okay? So God said everything was good. No problems. Until there was some other fruit introduced. So is fruit the problem? No, God made fruit. But there's a special fruit, and it might not even been the fruit. You know, we I don't know what kind of fruit that is. You have any idea what kind of fruit that is? It looks like a, I am not sure, avocado mixed with something else. A fig, yeah. What happened when this fruit was introduced? Now, this fruit wasn't introduced. What did God say about this fruit? Don't even touch it. Now, it's interesting because he says that in a couple places. Don't even touch it. Okay? So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brought what God said was very good down to the lesser than good level. And so what happened? The wages of sin was and still is death. And so there was a real problem once you started eating the way God didn't really want you to. Okay? I mean, it's interesting when you think about it. But the first sin had to do with what you put where? In your mouth. So to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife. Now, it's not always a problem. It's good to listen to your wife, but you have to evaluate. That's one of those times, okay? So God said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is what? the ground is cursed. Now, this is kind of interesting. Adam sinned and the ground gets cursed. The ground, probably the air, the planet. Because man has sinned, the planet now has a problem. And so it's very interesting when you start looking at the details. So cursed is the ground because of you. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. Do you guys know about thorns and thistles? Yeah. They're not herbs. Okay. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plant of the field. So there's two things that happen. One, you get some thorns, and two, veggies come in. Okay? And so what happens with thorns and thistles? Now, this is interesting because I get people who say, God produced thorns and thistles in the beginning. But I said, no, the Bible doesn't say that. So we get thorns and thistles, poisonous plants. I had one person, he said, well, God made marijuana for all of us, for our good. And I said, no, I think that came in with the thorns and the thistles. But not everybody's convinced on that one. Plants, viruses and diseases, decay and death. All these things came in because of what Adam and Eve did. And so, but also the other thing that changed too is God said, now you're going to be eating veggies. So we have a different diet before the fall than you have after the fall, okay? Now you've got fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. I think God was thinking, well, yeah, they're not going to make it in the sinful state with just fruits, grains, and nuts. They need some vegetables to supplement. So this was the ideal diet God gave man after the fall. After the fall, they were eating fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. That was the plan, okay? And of course, water, okay? Remember how many cups you're supposed to have a day? 8? That's if you're not doing anything. 8 glasses of water. So does water make a difference too? God didn't even have to say it. But water is a part of that. Okay? Not Pepsi. Water. And so this was God's plan. You know, it's kind of like having a car. Many don't own a car. Maybe I should have you put your... the kids will put their hands up. Okay? So it pays to read what? The owner's manual. What happens if you buy a car and throw the owner's manual out and you say, I would like to run it just the way I want to? Could be alongside the road, or might not even get out of the driveway. Okay? So I think of it this way. If I, I'm really frugal. How many are frugal? Is being frugal a good thing? Being frugal is a great thing. So I was thinking, there must be some way to save money on my auto expenses. And so since I decided the manual was not really that helpful, I have a great idea. Why don't we use water? I mean, gas prices are going up, aren't they? And if you guys come to my house, I've got a well. Do you know how much water it costs? I don't have to pay very much for my water. It just keeps coming. I could sell gas. I could sell water. If I can get the whole town to believe what I say, I could make a mint. Everybody would be coming to get my water, okay? It's cheaper. You don't have to worry if it splashes all over you. You just get a little wet. You don't smell like you've been soaked in gas. What do you think? You think we should do that? How do you think our cars would run? How do you think our pocketbooks... I think it would be better on the pocketbook rather than drive. So it's important, if you're going to own an automobile and make use of it and make sure you continue to use it and you don't fund all the automotive mechanics in town, you want to do what? Follow what the manual says. It's always a good idea. How many of you actually buy cars and then read the manual? You guys read the manual? There's a few of you. Sometimes we say, I know what this button's for. I know what that button's for. But sometimes reading the manual helps. You say, well, I didn't know the button did that. It not only did this, but if you hit it twice and hold the button in, then, something else happens. So reading the manual is a good thing. Reading the manual is a good thing. Now, you know who else comes with a manual? Adam came with a manual. It wasn't written down. But God gave Adam a sermon on health. I almost feel good to say that. Didn't God say that to Adam? Now you should eat this, but don't eat that. Okay? But Adam comes with an owner's manual. And if you follow the owner's manual, you're bound to be in good shape and you won't have to visit the mechanic very often. Okay? Now I know we've got a number of medical people in here. Sorry, I'm not. If everybody gets really healthy, you guys are going to have. Okay, almost, huh? But the healthier we get everybody, the less we'll need the mechanic to help fix things, right? And that's really God's plan. So what is the manual that we're thinking of? God's Word. God's Word gives us what we need to know when it comes to health. Now, does God care? Why does God even care about what we eat? Does it make any difference what you eat? With Adam and Eve, what they ate, did it affect their lives? Does it affect your lives? Even what they ate? Does it affect your lives, what your grandpa ate? Okay, so food does make a difference, okay? But we're not only talking about food when we talk about health. We're talking about a number of other things, but we're focusing in on diet today because that's what the Bible is talking about. So God's will, if we look in the Bible, this is part of the plan, the manual. What does it say? Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in what? Now, how would you like it to be totally unhealthy? You can be an invalid, but you'll prosper. Would you like that? How? Just think about it. If you were wealthy, all that kind of stuff, and money just kept rolling in, but you had no health, you couldn't get up out of bed, how would you feel? Would that be a blessing? You think God really is wanting something good for you? See, this is, we don't always get this. Sometimes we get mixed up. But God says, if you're going to prosper, you got to be in health to enjoy it. So I want two blessings for you. Two blessings. I want you to prosper and be in health. And then there's some other things he talks about as well. He says, you are a temple, a special temple, and I want to live in you. Okay? He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Okay, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. So he wants to bless you by being in you. And what you do with your body does translate into what happens with your brain. Is that true? I mean, all you got to do is think of this. Can you take medicines that affect your mind? Remember what we were just talking about? Everybody wants to have potless pot, okay? Marijuana, it's the latest rage. Does it affect your mind at all? Okay? I think God understood this. This is why he's saying, I want to bless your body so your mind can be blessed too. And if our mind is blessed, does that help our spiritual walk? Makes a big difference. So there's a reason God has even interested at all in what we eat. It has to do with how we relate to him, okay? 1 Corinthians, this is why he talks about this. Whether therefore you eat or drink, I guess that has to do with food, right? Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, not only what you eat and drink, but everything you do, do it for whose glory? God's glory. Most people are doing it for what? Their own glory. God says, if you're going to follow the manual, please do this for my glory. You will be blessed. Okay? And you know, Satan has a plan. Does Satan have a manual? He's got a special manual for each one of you. And he would just love you to read it and follow it. Okay? So his manual, at least when it comes to health, he would be delighted if you were sick and gone. He doesn't need Christians around. They just keep telling others about Jesus, and that's a real problem for him. So the sooner he can get rid of you, the better. So that's why he likes to discuss health with you on a regular basis. Satan has a plan to destroy us, our habits, our lifestyle. Okay? So this is the whole point. Why is God interested in what we do, in what we eat, what we think, everything? But he says diet's important, okay? So your lifestyle is the thing that's killing a lot of us, you know? What is the, you know this one. Thou shalt not, does that include self-destruct? Okay. This is God's plan. This is his original plan. He says, look, I really would like you guys to stay alive and prosper and not kill yourselves, nor kill anybody else, okay? So what are some of the causes of death in the Western world? Now, interestingly enough, before I go on to these, if you go to some countries where people are very poor and they can't afford the lifestyle that everybody wants to have, you follow what I'm saying? They can't live like kings and queens. Do you know what happens to these folks? They can't afford all the junk food. They can't afford all the... They can't sit on their couch all day. You know what they end up doing? They have a lack of all these diseases. They don't have heart disease. They have a lot less, at least. They don't have cancer. They don't have strokes. They don't have lung diseases. They don't have diabetes. These are all diseases of excess. And so we need to really think about how this all works. Now, you know, we're going to talk about a few different items specifically, but it's interesting because people are smoking less and less these days, aren't they? How many people do you see smoking these days? I mean, you guys don't smoke. I don't smell smoke on any of you, thank God. But how many other people do you see smoking as compared to 25 years ago? But you know what people are doing today? It's called vaping. Is that smoking? Is vaping better than smoking? Maybe. Depends on what you put in your vape. You know, people are dying because somebody is vaping the wrong types of things. Okay? So vaping and smoking are not too far apart. But we're going to be talking about smoking, but... You know, I was listening to the news, and they're talking about people who are dying from vaping, and then they're talking, I mean, you can have nicotine in your vape, and it can do the same thing to you as cigarettes. Most people don't realize, and I learned this as a kid, marijuana has like 8 times the tar as a cigarette. So for every 1 joint that you smoke, you get 8 times as much tar as from a cigarette, and that tar goes into your lungs. And so what is cigarette smoking to you? And this includes vaping too. Vaping does some of it, not all of it, but some of it. Heart disease, strokes, various forms of cancer, emphysema, premature births, poor circulation, shortness of breath. The last one's like, why did they even put that on there? It's obvious if you're smoking, you're not going to be able to breathe that well. But it not only affects you, but it affects other people, even vaping. Even vaping does that, okay? Now, God is interested in all of these things because he wants us to prosper and be what? Not only healthy, he not only wants to bless you healthy, but he wants to bless you, your spirituality, spiritual walk, okay? And this is the same type of thing that you can even get this from vaping. People who vape, that stuff is still in the air. And so... I mean, it's kind of interesting. These are the kind of things that come from all of that. Philippians. You know, smoking? I hope most of you have never smoked. I started when I was very young. And smoking is more difficult than that. Nicotine is extremely addictive. Extremely addictive. But we can do what? We can do all things. Now, if it comes to not only smoking, but any other health practice, including eating, including exercise, you know, some of us say, it's really hard to exercise. It is hard to exercise, especially when you got a brand new couch and a big TV. It's really easy to not exercise. But we can do all things through Christ. And I think this is important for us to understand, because I could be up here and tell you all about health stuff until you're blue in the face, and it does nothing unless you are able to do what's presented in God's Word. And you can't do it. Do you know how much you know how healthy you can eat without Jesus? Do you know how well you can live without Jesus? Without me, you can do. You will never change your diet without. Okay, so we need to focus on this part. This is really an important part of a health lecture. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can eat better. I can do more exercise. I can read God's word more. I mean, any of these things. These are all promises. So is health a matter of chance? Does it just, you know, how does it work? Well, pastor, I got my genes, and my genes said I should get diabetes. So that means I automatically get them, right? Is that how it works? True, you have genes, and they kind of load your gun. You got those gene bullets, okay? But the way you live, your lifestyle, will determine if the trigger is pulled. So you can have really lousy genes in your gun, but if you never pull the trigger, nobody gets hurt. It's pretty simple. So it's not a matter of chance. Now, how about alcoholic beverages? I know nobody here drinks. I am not going to say that, because some people are challenged with that. That's addictive as well. The devil loves to use addiction to destroy people. He doesn't care what kind of things you're hooked on. So if he can't get you with cigarettes, he'll get you with booze. If he can't get you with booze, he gets you with other things. Whatever it is, he just wants to make sure that you are surrendering to him. See, this is how the devil works. So alcoholic beverages, you know about alcoholic beverages. Now, one thing that's interesting is what the Bible teaches about alcohol. I run into Christians from different denominations, even Adventist Christians, periodically, that say it's okay to drink. Just don't drink 25 beers. Just drink 10 beers at one sitting. That's not that expression. Well, in moderation, come on. Moderation is all subjective. For one person, it's a half a beer. For another person, it's 5 beers. So what's moderation? Anyways, what does the Bible teach about alcohol? Okay? We got to understand, I think we went through this before a little bit, but this is a kind of a review. In the Bible, the word yain is for wine, and Greek, in Greek, it's enos, and it has to be determined not by the word. When you say wine, it doesn't mean alcohol. When you say wine in the Bible, it means juice of grapes. It could be fermented or unfermented. So you have to look at the context. So some people come to me and they say, well, pastor, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine so he could be healthy, and I want to be healthy, so I'm going to start drinking wine. Does that make sense? Did Paul say, Timothy, drink a little booze, drink a little alcohol? A little white lightning? Just you know what white lightning is? It's just straight alcohol. Drink a little alcohol for your health. Is that what he said? He said, drink a little juice for your health. Because alcohol there's a few doctors here. Is alcohol good for your health? How about juice? So Timothy, if you look at the context, Paul is saying, drink juice. Unfermented wine, that's what you'd call. Does this look like a positive or a negative on the word wine? Would you consider this grape juice? Is grape juice a mocker? This would probably be wine with alcohol, grape juice with alcohol, or what we'd call alcoholic wine rather than unalcoholic wine. So wine is a mocker, strong drink is brawling, and whosoever is led astray by it is not wise. This is definitely dealing with alcohol. So God's manual says, don't touch it. Stay away from it. Don't be mocked. Okay? And so it's pretty simple. What does alcohol do? You guys know most of this. This is a rehash. It's addictive. It destroys brain cells. You know, some people who've been alcoholics for a long time, they kind of cut their brain up to see what's up, and they find big gaps and holes, almost like Alzheimer's. Very much like that. It dramatically affects your ability to reason. Is that true? Anybody know somebody who has drunk alcohol? Maybe in your family? Talk about unreasonable. God wants us not to touch it. Remember we were talking, you know, God says don't eat the fruit. Don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. Now, if you're talking about isopropyl alcohol, it's okay to use some on your face if you got a pimple or something. Okay, or other places. But isopropyl alcohol, if you drunk it, you wouldn't be doing well at all. And that's part of the reason why they have isopropyl alcohol and not ethanol for you to use on your face. You know the difference between isopropyl alcohol and ethanol is? Ethanol is the kind of stuff that you drink as booze. That's what booze is, ethanol. But isopropyl alcohol is a different type of alcohol, and they use that because people will not be tempted to just drink it straight out of the bottle. And that's one reason. There's other reasons, too. So it's important to understand that. And, it doesn't matter if it's cigarettes or booze or even junk food or whatever it is. No temptation has taken you except such as common to man. So is it normal for everybody to have some issues with alcohol? Is it common? Maybe I should ask this question. Who doesn't drink in America? I heard we don't. How many we's are there? What percentage is Adventist compared to the population of the United States? 1%? 0.3%? Now, I don't know. There's probably some people that don't drink out there, but the majority of people, they're not all drunk. They don't drink huge amounts, but there's a huge amount of people. I go visit all sorts of different people. I've got family that are not Adventists. I've got friends that are not Adventists, and by and far, almost all of them drink. Even if it's just a little bit, they still drink. Some drink a lot. I mean, I got all my friends. My friends were in a really great bunch to take a sample from. But on Facebook, all my friends from back in Detroit, many of them are saying 25 years sober. Thank God for that. 10 years sober. By such things that are common to man. But see, this is the good part. But God, who is faithful, now who is the one that delivers us? God, who is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation, he will make what? A way of escape so you can bear it. So with God's help, you don't have to be like everybody else, okay? You don't have to be like everybody else. You can read God's manual and say, I know what he wants me to do, and I can do all things. He will make a way of escape. It's possible. You know, because I know many people, they know everything. They know all sorts of stuff about what the Bible teaches, but they can't do any of it because they have not connected in with Jesus. And that's why that's such an important part. Now, it's interesting to look at the health and diseases in the ancient world, okay? You know, if you look at some of the things that you find in the ancient world, you'll find what God says about what was happening in the ancient world. He says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, in other words, do everything he tells you, okay? Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, then what will happen? You guys know this one. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, what kind of diseases did the Egyptians have? About the slaves? Okay? Interestingly enough, if you look at some of the mummies, now where do the mummies come from? Pyramids. And who gets to visit the pyramids? You follow what I'm saying. Who gets to have the pyramid as your tombstone? The wealthy folk. And what did the wealthy folk eat back in Egypt? What do you think wealthy people ate back in Egypt? You don't even have to go back that far. What did all the rich folk, King Henry, was he like slim and fit? You never even knew him and you knew he wasn't slim and fit. Do you think he ate a really great high fiber diet? You think he was into tofu? Probably not. So he would be not too far away from the pharaohs. They were obese. He had cancer, tooth decay, stress. I don't know how you can tell stress from... Can you tell stress from a mummy? There might be a way to do it. So they were dying of all these kind of diseases. And it was the problem. The real problem was the rich people were all dying, and the slaves, who all they had was... Well, what do slaves usually get? Oatmeal. You know what God's saying? Eat slave food. They got the cheap stuff. You know, they got the whole wheat flour with all the bran and the germ in it. Okay? Now, after the fall, remember what the diet was after the fall? Fruits, grains, nuts, and broccoli. How many like broccoli? Anybody like broccoli? Oh, you guys are all like, you guys like slave food. This is really good. So after the fall, you remember what happened? This was the diet that God had. Now, did everybody eat this way after the fall? Were there a few wicked people after the fall? But the faithful people, the patriarchs, they decided they were going to follow what God had to say, right? So they were particular about it. And so how long did they live? Remember Methuselah? He lived how many years? 906. If you round that off, you know how many years that is? 1,000 years. How many would like to live? How about just living to 100? Anybody want to live to 100? I wouldn't mind. How about 200? This is like too much. You mean I'm going to have great, 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 great grandkids? You know how many grandkids would come to visit if you lived till 200? That would actually be a blessing. Well, Methuselah, he probably had, I don't know how many grandkids. But I'll bet there was a few of them. And he got to see all of them. See, even in the picture, he was walking with a grandkid. Methuselah lived a long time. He lived a long time. But you know, the problem we have, we are living longer than we have lived in a long... You know, we say, oh, the American, or the Western world, however you want to word it, we live longer than we did 70 years ago or 100 years ago. But you know, the problem today is they can make you live for a long time. You have a feeding tube, intubated, you guys know what intubated means, where you got a breathing tube down your throat to keep you going. You could live a long time. Now, if I had to choose, if I was going to live to 100 or 200, that's not even 900, if I was going to live a few more years, I wouldn't want to live like most Americans live. We live longer, but we live worse. Many Americans, the last 30 years of their lives, they're invalids. How would you like to have a third of your life you're an invalid? Would you want to live longer? You see what the problem is? If I'm going to live to 100, I want to be able to be running with the grandkids, kind of like Methuselah. He's out there taking a hike. See, so health is really important. I would like to make my odds better. I don't want to be an invalid. And see, this is... Now, obviously, there are some things you can't... You can be the healthiest person in town, you can eat a really healthy diet, and you can still get struck by a truck. But I'm going to have better odds for all the other stuff, okay? And, actually, these are all the guys that lived a long time. Actually, if you are healthier and you get hit by a truck, you know, healthier people have harder bones. They usually hang in there better when they have a catastrophic thing happen to them. They can endure an awful lot more. So even if you did get hit by a truck, you're going to be in better shape. These guys lived a long time. Now, as time went on, today's diet, and as time went on, there was a flood that was going to happen. Now, what do floods do to your garden? Anybody have a garden? Well, anybody had a garden? Other things can mess your garden up, like cold weather. But if you had a flood, especially almost to the tops of the mountains, I don't think your zucchini would be doing well. Okay? So this happened to Noah. Noah had a real problem. His garden was going to be gone, and he didn't want to starve. And God didn't want him to starve either. So God had a temporary solution. I want to get that straight. Because I know some people will say, well, see, they told them to eat meat, so that's why we're still doing it. But Genesis 2, or 7 verse 2, says you shall take sevens. And we're always told he took them in by twos. Actually, he didn't take any of them in, did he? They came of their own accord. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, and two each of the animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Okay? So when Noah got off the ark, there was nothing to eat, and he had been a vegetarian all his life. I'll bet it was a little bit of a challenge to try to figure out what to do with one of those cows. Probably said, well, I'll do this for a short bit, but I'm planting my garden right away. And so I think Noah, he says, yes, we're going to do it that way, but it was a little challenge, and he went back to being. You guys know how long Noah lived? After the flood, he lived 500 more years. That means he was still eating a healthy diet. He had meat for a little bit, but he said, meh. He followed God's plan on the meat too, which made it even better for him. But God, you know, after the Israelites went to Egypt, they had lost the manual, and Moses came, and he was helping them get the manual back, so he was giving them instruction, and he says, now while you're in the desert, you guys are going to be eating plant-based. You guys think manna is plant-based? And so they complained a little bit, and God said, you want meat, do you? And he gave them meat, but what happened? They all got sick and died. It wasn't a good deal. God was trying to show them something, but they were not getting it. But the shoes didn't wear out because they ate like this vegan plant-based diet for 40 years. But God was trying to teach them something. God was trying to teach us something too because of the fact that this was written down for us. They were delighted. Finally, we can eat something better than salad all the time. I'm so tired of salad. You follow what I'm saying? And so God says, okay, if you guys are going to be difficult, if you're going to eat meat, you're going to have to follow the plan. I'm going to do this to make it as unpleasant as possible. That was God's plan. So, speak to the children of Israel saying these. This is Leviticus. This is when they were back in Canaan, okay? Speak to the children of Israel saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Now, we're going to go through this a little bit. You guys might know some of this already. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Now, what kind of animals are those? You guys know about cows, okay? They've got cloven hoofs. What does that mean, cloven hoofs? That means they're split, right? Okay? And they chew the cud. Do they have cloven hooves? Do they chew the cud? You got to figure this out. How many have a camel? Anybody have camels? How many even look at pictures of camels? Well, you're doing this, but we're not looking at his hooves. Do camels spit? Maybe they chew the cud. Let's find out. Actually, the Bible gives us the answer. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, you may not eat. Notice it has an or there, not an and. You may not eat such as these, the camel, the hare, the rock hyrax. They chew the cud, but they do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean for you. Okay, so they do chew the cud. That's why they spit. But their hooves are not cloven. Okay, they're not split hooves. Okay, also the swine is unclean to you because it has cloven hooves. See, the swine have cloven hooves. I almost got there. But they don't chew the cud. You shall not eat of their flesh nor touch their dead carcass. Now I thought, what? Is touching a dead carcass that big of an issue? I was listening to somebody on YouTube. You know, YouTube, everybody listens to YouTube. And it was a doctor talking about some of the diseases people who work in food, particularly meat processing plants, get from just, well, that's they eat everything. But it was amazing some of the things that they got. Some of the things they got from just touching the carcasses. I thought, I think God was right. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. Is loaded with saturated fat and cholesterol, okay? Cancer in the pigskins, kidneys, and lymphatic system and other internal organs is common. That's especially the way they're taken care of these days. Pork products are regularly preserved with nitrates. They use those for other things too. But nitrates, which are known to produce cancer-causing compounds. Anybody know what a nitrate is? Nitrates and nitrates. Chemicals for preserving stuff, but they're not the best for you at all. Pork contributes to numerous digestive and stomach problems. There's a whole list. Trichina larvae. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes people, there's all sorts of symptoms and nobody knows what it is. And then they find out that it's because they have trichina larvae in their system. And it's an interesting thing. I remember listening to one doctor was telling me that. He says that there's a lot of unknown problems until people actually start looking at what people are eating. So don't touch it. Don't eat it. How about sea life? Jesus ate fish. I always hear that question. Jesus ate fish? Why can't I eat fish? Did Jesus eat fish? Did the disciples eat fish? Were fish a little bit healthier 2,000 years ago? Any difference? Okay, I'm not going to elaborate. Just got you thinking. These you may eat of all that are in the waters. Whatever in the waters has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, you may eat them. Okay, so you can eat those fish. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the waters or any living thing which is in the waters, they are an abomination unto you. Abomination is a bad word. They're abomination unto you. So like crabs, and sharks. I hear people say, oh yeah, they got shark fin special stuff, you know, kind of like blue-green manna. We're going to have shark fin stuff. And I say, you're not following the scriptures, you know. Going to be a problem. This was a while ago, but in 1988, 3,000 Chinese in Shanghai developed hepatitis A from clams. How many have ever had a clam? Anybody ever have a clam? They're little slimy things. I won't elaborate. Scavengers and birds of prey, not supposed to have those either. The birds, they shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard. I couldn't imagine harvesting those birds, but. And so, you know, Satan's counterfeit is a diet that includes unclean meat. Now, unclean? Nobody knows? Here's a good text for you. It shall be perpetual statute in all your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither what? fat nor blood. Now, you know, a lot of the beef they sell, yeah, they cut the fat off, and they try to get some of it off. But if you're going to eat blood-free beef, what color do you think it would end up being? And what color is it usually? And when you take it and squeeze it, I don't want to get too graphic here for those who have been vegetarians for a long time. It's really almost impossible to buy meat without blood in it. As a matter of fact, if they took all the blood out, it would be so tasteless, they would go out of business. So blood really is where you get most of the flavor from. But God says, I don't want you to enjoy it. Is he just being nasty? Why doesn't he want us to enjoy it? Just think of a stalk of broccoli compared to a slab of meat. And I know some people will say, oh, Pastor, there's no comparison. The meat's better. But you know, God can change our taste buds. He wants us to eat healthfully. Okay, so you've got three different types of diets, okay? You got the unacceptable. Then you have, this is acceptable. As a matter of fact, as Adventists, we teach that it's okay to eat meat, true? As long as it's clean. Don't we teach that? You guys have been to evangelistic series. They say that this is it. Don't eat the unclean meat. Eat the clean meat. Okay, but for some reason, we don't have big platters of steak and chicken at our potlucks. Do you know why? Because somebody in our church, and I'm hoping everybody, wants to move closer to what? The ideal diet. As a matter of fact, I wanted to read something that I found that I thought was very interesting from Ellen White's writings. And see, most of us don't know. Healing, okay? It says, the diet reform should be progressive. In other words, it should be going upward, okay? As disease in animals increases, the use of milk and even eggs will become more and more unsafe. Animal-based diet. That's what she's talking about. And this was written, do you guys know how long ago Ministry of Healing was written? After the turn of the century there. It says, an effort should be made to supply their place with other things that are healthful and inexpensive. People everywhere should be taught how to cook without milk and eggs. She's not even talking meat. She's just talking milk and eggs here. So far as possible, and yet have food wholesome and palatable. Now, people tell me, well, it's okay. You know, the time's not come yet. And I'm thinking, why would she be teaching people 100 years ago to eat and prepare food without milk and eggs if the time wasn't going to come until they were way gone? I think the time had come a long time ago, but how many have ever seen or heard of the China Study? You guys ever heard of the China Study? Anybody ever read that? By T. Colin Campbell? Now he isn't even an Adventist. But he did this study, and he was looking to prove why we should eat animal products and all that kind of stuff, and he found the opposite. And it's kind of interesting if you look at some of the things, and this is for us Adventists, but if you look at some of the things he was showing, that if you give, when I use people as mice, so they did this on mice, and they fed mice a diet high in animal protein, and what they used was what they call milk protein, like casein. Casein. Casein, whey, stuff like that. And the more they gave them, if they had their diet 20% of milk protein, this is milk, I'm not even talking meat. It is related to meat. If they gave them a diet 20%, the cancer rate would go up. To the point where all these mice were dying. If they lowered it down to 5% or lower, all the cancers would start going away. And they said, there must be something to this. So they tried it again. And they gave them the 20%, and all the cancers started going up in these mice. And then they gave them 5 or less percent, and the cancer started going down. They were able to turn cancer on and off by how much milk protein they gave them. I mean, this is not even fat. And I'm thinking, I remember as a kid, I used to drink skim milk all the time. That was the milk protein. So, I mean, I think what Ellen White has to say here about milk and eggs becoming unsafe is being proven today, that we need to really think carefully and say we need to move towards the ideal, because I don't want to die of cancer. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to get cancer, but I surely want to have an 80 or 90% chance, better odds of being healthy. And so, you know, obviously, it's hard work because we're used to what we usually eat, and you got to do it in steps. You can't do it all at once. When you do it all at once, if you try to climb a ladder 8 or 10 rungs at once, what happens? One, you get really stretched out muscles, and two, you slip. And when you slip, where do you end up at? Back down at below the first rung. So people say, Pastor, I'm never going to be able to eat healthily because I try and I just, I fall flat and it's just worthless. So I tell people, and this is a sample I want to tell you. When people come to our seminars, people who are eating all the bad foods, pork and, you know, lobster and all the rest of that stuff, shrimp, and I tell them, okay, let's take the first step. Just stop eating pork. Just that one thing. You can eat beef, you can eat shrimp, you can eat all the rest. The pastor's telling him you can eat shrimp? Yeah. Take one step at a time. Just stop eating pork. You're really sturdy and you've got your feet planted well. Then go to the next rung. And maybe the next rung is just stopping eating in between meals. So, Pastor, you know how long it's going to take them to actually just get off of meat? I said, it doesn't make any difference as long as they're going up the ladder. You see? So to preach to people and say, you got to stop eating all this junk today is not going to be practical because people won't be able to do it. As a matter of fact, now that I'm talking about that, I want to ask you, how many here have met what I call the angry health reformer? You guys know any angry health reformers? Now, you know what an angry health reformer is? That's what Ellen White calls a health deformer. An angry health reformer is one that is really mad if everybody doesn't eat the same way they eat. Okay? Now, if you're eating healthy food, it should make you more... How should it make you? Lovable. I like that. A new definition, the lovable health reformer. Anybody know a lovable health reformer? You don't have to raise your hand because you didn't raise your hand for the angry health reformer. If you're going to be interested in health, don't become an angry health reformer. And if you meet angry health reformers, ask God to have mercy on their soul. Okay? But just because they're angry health reformers, don't say we're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Say, okay, we'll throw out the bathwater. You can, I don't know if you want to get rid of the angry health reformer, but... with God's help, you can pray for them, and maybe they'll become loving health reformers. Because really, if you're a health reformer, you should be more Christ-like, more patient, more compassionate, more tolerant. Are you following? Now, I know I'm going a little bit here, but I think it's important to talk about this, because whenever you talk about health, I run into people who are angry that everybody else is not just doing what we are. And then I even run into people who are angry non-health reformers. Do you know what an angry non-health reformer is? They're telling us I can't eat what I want. Ah! You could be angry either way. The key is not being angry, okay? This is, you know, if you want to help people, you can't force them to go up the ladder quickly. One, it's a stress, and two, they ain't going to make it, okay? So how can I have victory in my over my undesirable habits? You know the promises. These are more promises, okay? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We need power over appetite. It's one of the most challenging things in our lives, okay? With God, are things possible? Okay. When you just have your own, are things possible with men? They're impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So these are some of the things, okay? Were the health laws nailed to the cross? What was nailed to the cross? Were the Ten Commandments nailed to the cross? How about the civil laws in Israel? Were they nailed to the cross? Maybe. What was nailed to the cross? The ceremonial laws. Okay, we're studying right now, over at Ken's house, we're studying about the sanctuary. Those laws were nailed to the cross. Doesn't mean we shouldn't study them. It means we don't have to bring a lamb now that we've sinned. Okay? So, God's ideal diet, fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables, that's what he wants us to do. As a matter of fact, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. A new heavens and a new earth. Okay? Soon we're going to get to heaven. And so, is going to be the same in the end. Are you following? And I'm almost done here. I know I'm going over a little bit. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. So there's no more death, no more dying when we get to heaven, no more slaughterhouses. Do you follow what I'm saying? So what are we going to be eating when we get to heaven? God wants us to prepare ahead of time. He doesn't want us to come to heaven and say, ugh, broccoli. Ugh, peaches. How many say, ugh, the peaches? How many like peaches here? Heaven's going to be full of peaches. So this is what God wants. Okay, so I want to have a little response here for you. Was the message clear? Anybody, was the message clear? What God wants us to do, okay? I want to obey all of the teachings of the Bible, including the ones about health. Is that true? Do you guys want to do that? Let me see a few hands. My next step will be a miracle. It'll take a miracle, because food, you need a miracle to have. Please pray that God will help me have strong faith to accomplish my next step. That's important. Now, a quiz, short quiz. What did God give man to eat in the beginning? Fruits, grains, nuts. Did he get vegetables? Not in the beginning, after the fall. Okay. How long was the average lifespan of those who ate God's diet right after the fall? How long? 900 plus. All of them lived into their 900s. All of them lived into their 900s. What did God allow the Israelites to eat in Canaan? All that veggie stuff. Like my father-in-law used to say, he said, all you guys eat is like rabbit food. I said, yep. So God had them eat rabbit food in Canaan. Any reason? Just because he wanted to be nasty? I mean, just think, if you were God, you had all the power in the world, what would you give people to eat? Say, hey, I'll give you whatever you want, no? He decided he was going to give them good stuff to eat. Number four, what law was nailed to the cross? You guys know this one. Ceremonial law. And the last one, what will the saved eat and drink in heaven? The water from the tree of life, right? Well, actually, it won't be from the tree of life. It'll be from the river. But God's going to give a, you know, go plant-based. Is that what the Bible says? I don't preach on diet very often. But you know, I think God is wanting to bless us more than we have been blessed. So ask God for wisdom and say, I'm going to eat healthier. I am going to start going up the ladder. And I think God will bless. Why don't we close? Let's close with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word in every area of our lives, dealing with diet, dealing with Sabbath keeping, dealing with the way we dress, whatever it is, all the different types of areas in our lives that you want to affect and make a difference. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in the area of food and exercise and all the other health-related things too as well. We just pray your Holy Spirit would guide us. Most of all, we pray that you would come into our heart and help us to be willing to be guided by your word in this area. Please do bless each one of us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.